Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack. And with the sudden onset of the COVID-19 pandemic and all the physical social distancing is going on as a means to slow its spread, it's becoming more and more obvious that humans are very social creatures as the list of activities and events that have been canceled or postponed continues to grow. Well, in today's installment of the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, I'll be talking with Heather Allen from the Central Minnesota Arts Board about the effect that all of this has had upon the arts community, how programs are beginning to shift, even though we're not much more than a week in, and what artists can do right now if all of a sudden their income has vanished. And one of the things is an emergency grant for working artists from the Central Minnesota Arts Board. You can find information on their website about that, and we'll talk about that soon. But one of the main things that we're going to be talking about is how our creativity and our community will be critical for us to make it through. And we will make it through. So, Heather, welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. And yeah, we were chatting before getting on air, just kind of about brainstorming. What are we going to do?
Yes, very much so. And that's something that I enjoy and feel like in my role at CMAB specifically, but just because I'm an artist, like building ideas or adapting to work for different circumstances is something that I've always really liked doing with our grantees. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't feel as fun when it's coming out of like a painful and sometimes desperate place, but there is a lot of that happening. And creativity is problem solving in response to limitations and circumstances and needs. And so I'm cautiously excited about the potential of what's going to come in response to people having to think and engage and behave really, really differently than they have before. Mm-hmm. Well, collectively, yeah. Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, one thing that we're dealing with down at KVSC is we've got one more Granite City Radio Theater on this, you know, grant cycle. You know the grant cycles well, fiscal years and all that.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, how do we roll with that? And we've got contingency plans, but we're still not sure. But everything takes on a whole different thing. So it's kind of crazy. So what are some of the, well, I don't know, we could talk about, how about we start off with something that is happening, the artist emergency grant. So tell us a little bit about that.
So the last Monday for us at the office was kind of the day where it felt like over the weekend things went from hypothetical to really kind of concerning and urgent. And so we were in the office on Monday, and we met and talked about changes that needed to happen for artists and organizations that were all collectively canceling everything.
Yeah.
You know, for at least a couple weeks, but knowing that it was likely not a couple weeks. You know, it's gonna extend far beyond that. And so we got permission from the McKnight Foundation, who grants us a large amount of the dollars we give to individual artists, to create a program to provide up to $500 for artists who have found themselves in a situation where through gigs or teaching engagements or whatever, we're depending on income in the coming months and now have been faced with lots of cancellations. A couple weekends ago, as things were starting to feel really intense, I spoke to a lot of artists over the weekend and spoke to people who'd had a month of shows and income canceled, someone who within two or three emails had lost about $2,400 in contracts for the coming month.
Oof, yeah.
And so, you know, with the aim of the grant, back to that, is to just provide a little bit of cushion to help folks as fast as possible. And those grants are reviewed internally, so we have a really quick turnaround. The deadline is just open-ended. We have we're targeting working artists who really depend on income that they've lost, and we're trusting folks to take an ethical approach if you have a spouse or a good safety net or cushion, then we're asking and trusting that artists in that position won't request funds through that program. But we have seen a number of requests, and we're trying to just connect on the phone with those artists to do more of what you were talking about, like just do some brainstorming and see how folks are doing and what their needs may be. Because we don't know what that will look like, but as a regional arts council, we are entirely invested in the health and vitality of our arts sector. And so, we're positioning ourselves to be responsive to needs. That's why the regional arts councils exist. And the landscape of needs in the arts community has shifted, and I think we still collectively don't even know what that new shift looks like.
Yeah, it does. It seems like the floor just went out from everyone, and symbolically, everybody's kind of free falling, and no one really knows what to do or how to do it. That's really what it seems like. But, we're all kind of banding together and in what ways we can, and, help as you can. That's what it seems like right now. But yeah, the brainstorming, what can we do? How can we, how can we continue to thrive? Because if you look at what we had, Minnesota has this vibrant, incredible arts community, the legacy amendment and all that. I think we're very lucky to have that, because that put a lot of things in place that other places don't have this. So other creative people, they might not have, I'm not saying it's like a safety net, but it's like there's an infrastructure there, where people know each other. People are active. People are interrelated already, because people are working, and because that's in place, then I think it might be easier for, folks to maybe figure it out. Does that make sense? A little.
I think Minnesota has a pretty cool arts community, and when you're talking about infrastructure, of course, because of where I'm coming from, I think of the statewide funding system and the legacy amendment that passed in 2008 during a recession, which is something that a lot of our organizers and administrators are reminding us of in this particular moment. I think it's interesting to see organizations and artists sort of responding to their new circumstances and kind of making some creative decisions that are going to increase access to their programming now for people in their homes, but also really our big picture, long-term moves in terms of increasing access, period. So I spoke with a group who's considering shifting some project grant funds to purchase a 360 camera so they can create a virtual version of an exhibition that people now won't be able to come see in person. And that's an accessibility move that will benefit people who can't make it to those venues when, we aren't collectively quarantined. So things like that are exciting. And I think there are couched within a lot of pain. I think it's important to acknowledge, but people are making moves and having time to make decisions that will benefit people in terms of arts access long term.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Because it does come back to that, you know, the access. And we're all used to going somewhere to see things or to hear things or just, you know, experience things. And right now, that's not really the case. But yet, I don't know. I get the feeling that there'll be a point where people will come back together and, you know, because there's the online bit, but then there's the actual being close to people. And I think that that's, we're going to realize just how important that is. I start thinking about the things that we took for granted before this. And, you know, just being in the same room with people is a big deal. I was kind of joking the other day to some friends, you know, just chatting here and there online, of course. And, you know, now I've got a much more greater understanding of what my dog goes through. Yeah. You know, it's like
I saw some of that sentiment on the floating around the internet too. I was like, oh, uh-huh. Yeah, good point.
I know. What are some other things that are maybe in development or different ideas that are out there?
Oh boy. You know, I think so. You know, we've seen a lot of, I think we're seeing some big ideas start to crystallize that are going to be used across a lot of organizations. So choirs and orchestras who are made up of, you know, scores of people can't gather collectively, but people are taking individual recordings and mixing them and creating a piece that also speaks to something that we're feeling, you know, when you see people together alone, tiled on a screen, making something collectively. I think we're going to see a lot of that. I think it's a good way to adapt and also creates a product that we can, that sort of documents the moment in history that we're living in, which is exactly what artists are going to be doing right now. I think that if we can find ways to, you know, keep people safe and have their needs met, that this is a kind of obviously an opportunity for artists to have creative time. I want to be careful about saying that, because if you don't have income and, you know, have small children to care for all of a sudden, or homeschool or things like that, it's not maybe sensitive to say like, oh, take creative time you know, work on your body of work or that sort of thing. But for some people that will be the case. And, you know, we personally, as an artist working in grant making, I always like to argue for the value of supporting people to make and create and sometimes in open-ended ways, because we can't always know what it is we're going to do if we're going to honor a creative process and let ourselves explore and see how things unfold. I guess personally, as a creative, I feel kind of competing pressures to do that while also trying to keep up a house for myself and my two kids and, you know, making the new homeschool e-learning transition. And then I'm also lucky enough to be working from home, which I'm very grateful for, but it creates a whole other layer of activity in my household I'm not used to. Well, accommodating.
And this is something I've said to friends who are now working at home too, because through my various jobs I've had over the last decade or so, maybe more, I have done a lot of work at home. And there are these little, I guess you could call them pitfalls, that you might not be aware of until it happens. One is make sure you've got an office space, and make sure that office space is a space that you can walk away from. And, you know, you've got, you know, whatever that is, and you know, because it will be important to be able to, you know, be at home without that lingering, it's almost like a spirit of work that's just kind of floating around. And that can be kind of tricky.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. We're talking with Heather Allen from the Central Minnesota Arts Board. And today we're talking about the effects upon the arts of the COVID-19 virus and all the physical social distancing that's going on, and how organizations, both large and small, are shifting because they have to. And as we all go forward in the ways that we have to, we got to realize that we are living history right now.
There is humor. We're still alive, and there are people posting on social media right now that please take pictures of things. Take pictures of helping, take pictures of what you're doing, because this is history. Your grandkids, great grandkids will be able to look back on this time and be like, oh, look what my great grandma did, look what my great grandpa did. And this, they're collecting, the county historical societies are collecting. They're going to.
Totally.
And this is, we are living history right now. So we got to do something.
Yeah. I was reading something on the internet about this generation of kids who are going through this right now. Mm-hmm. When they have children or grandchildren, they're going to be able to tell them when they complain that they're bored that, for 2 months when I was a kid, I had to stay at home with my parents.
Yeah.
I couldn't see anyone or do anything.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to a friend this morning, and we kind of came to the conclusion that I have almost two teenagers. My younger son is 12, but it's almost like the kids have kind of collectively all been grounded.
Uh-huh.
By no fault of their own, and it's tough, and they can't even argue about it.
Yeah. There's nothing to argue about.
No, it's tough.
That's got to be real tough for the kids. Oh, trust me. For my other job, I worked for the school district, and I miss those little monsters.
Yeah.
I miss their arguing with me about why they don't want to do their math.
Yeah. I think I guess as a parent, I know that's helpful to hear the teacher saying, we miss you, we're sorry we can't be with you. And I bet that that's means something to the kids too. They don't always, understand when they're absorbing those things, but it's important.
I think in some ways they definitely do, though, because you run into this happened at one of the grocery stores around. I was there, and there was a couple of the kids I know, and they were there with their folks, and they were all like, oh, it's Mr. Jeff, how's it going? And I'm like, oh, hey, what are you guys up to? And we had a little chat, and it was wonderful. Just this little thing. And I think that's kind of, to bring it back around to the arts and everything, it's this appreciation of, oh, hey, we had it good, and now, well, let's do this again, let's make it better, what can we do?
Well, I was thinking of circling back to that too, because I don't feel like I did a good job of answering your question about what's changing.
Mm-hmm.
In part because I feel like it's a little early right now, and I think we're watching that. There are changes we've made as an organization to try to give grace and latitude to the organizations that receive grants from us and the individuals who receive grants from us, so that we're not creating hoops or policies or requirements that put any additional pressure on them or complicate an already very complicated situation. We want very much to be partners. But a couple things I think about in terms of artists' role or things that we're going to have to be really creative about how we program experiences are, when we find ourselves further along on the timeline and we can start looking at how to gather people again, I think there are going to be some really new and big needs to help people feel comfortable with doing that again. And I'm excited and interested to see how artists respond creatively to those needs, because I know even personally, thinking about how we ease back into collecting ourselves in groups and places, there isn't going to just be a day when everything goes back to normal. And so I think there's some strategy and some thought to be applied to you know, how we keep people comfortable and connected and okay now, but also like, how are we going to be thoughtful about gathering again and talking about what that will mean for us and how we'll be thinking about things in that time.
Nope, absolutely. That is, Joe McMullen and I were talking about that just before you and I got on the phone with the Granite City Radio Theater. You know, we've got a live studio audience. Well, and then we also have, you know, all these, we've got about 15 people that it takes to put on this show. So getting 15 people together in one place, you know, you got the green room, you got all these different things. You got the steps at the Pioneer Place, you know, stage to green room. And it's just kind of like, well, maybe we just don't do that. Maybe we put everybody out in the audience. Maybe we don't have an audience. Maybe we change the show later so we can have a little bit of an audience. You know, we're just starting to think about those little things that are actually really big things. And when will people feel comfortable hanging out with a group? And, you know, how are things going to evolve? And, yeah, you're right, we don't know yet. So you all had something scheduled with Scarlet Revolver that was coming up that is, I'm assuming, no longer going on because it was going to be at the library. But about, you know, just making that social media or online branding, because she's really good at that. I mean, she's local. For those who don't know, she's local in St. Cloud. She's got a dance studio, yoga studio downtown, and she's been involved with performance for years. And if there's anything she's not, it's shy. but that's how she has developed who she is with her art. And she was going to be bringing that, what was it, like a 4-workshop type thing, branding and all of this. So how do you see things like that evolving? Is that a partnership that you're gonna, you know, kind of maybe develop in a different direction with her, or what do you think?
So the Central Minnesota Arts Board and the Great River Regional Library partnered with Scarlet to provide actually 3 4-session workshops for artists. It's built out of a model created by Springboard for the Arts, which is a wonderful organization based in the Twin Cities serving all of Minnesota that supports artists on the business end of operating their careers. So everyone should be familiar with them if they aren't. Scarlet received some training with Springboard, combined with her lived experience as a performer and artist entrepreneur. And those workshops are really designed to be delivered to artists by working artists, because it's all about networking and best practices sharing and kind of collective expertise among, you know, people who've had all sorts of different experiences with the business end, like marketing and social media and branding and career planning and things like that. So I think we got 2 or 3 sessions in to those 3 series of workshops before things closed down. I would assume that, you know, probably a ways into the future, but when the libraries reopen and people feel comfortable coming out, those workshops will begin again. They were very popular. I think they were full. And I know in the meantime, Scarlet has been offering some online versions of some of her coaching work around social media and that sort of thing. I don't have the specifics, but I know you can find her on Facebook or probably at the Revolver Studios page. But that's, you know, like a lot of our programming, if it didn't have to be canceled, it's just sort of postponed indefinitely until people can get together. But that sort of workshop really speaks to exactly what we're being reminded we really need and benefit from, which is like spending time, you know, sharing our successes and our failures with other people and feeling solidarity. And we can do that through electronic means while we need to, but maybe we're also going to be reminded about how important it is to really spend time in the same spaces as one another as we build our art, and then also, of course, as we share it.
Absolutely. absolutely. Or are there other things you want to bring up here in the conversation at this point? Or
so I'm really glad you brought up the artist emergency assistance grant. I really encourage folks who are working artists and live in Benton, Sherburn, Stearns, or Wright County to look into that program if you found yourself in a situation where you've lost all or a large portion of your income and are looking to, you know, find ways to prepare for the weeks we have to navigate in front of us. And I, you know, I'm the program officer, and so my job is really to connect artists to opportunities. The same with all of our staff. There are four staff, and we can all either help you or get you to the person who can help you. But I encourage anyone with thoughts or questions or ideas to just reach out to us via email right now, and we'll either arrange a phone call or communicate with you one way or another. Because I really appreciate the way you sort of frame this, Jeff, because there's a lot of, as creatives, I think the best thing we can do right now, after we make sure people are safe and taken care of, is spend some time ideating and generating solutions and responses, because as scary and difficult as this is, in some ways, all bets are off, and that can be an interesting place to create from. And so I'm cautiously optimistic and a little excited to see how some people will respond.
Yep. Me too. Me too.
Well, and there's all those articles about grief floating around, and I was thinking about the parallels in that, like, things for most people right now, at least in Minnesota and around here, look normal, besides like empty pockets on grocery shelves and things. But then there's all these messages and like this sort of collective understanding that it's not normal. And grief feels like that too. Like you have to kind of keep walking through whatever you're doing, but everything has changed, but everything looks the same.
Yeah. Well, it is very good talking with you and hearing your voice and everything. So that is that's
likewise,
awesome.
Jeff. Thanks for reaching out. This is fun. And I would like to do it again. It's a nice way to reach a lot of people. And it's kind of an interesting function of where we're at, because I have had more conversations and like one-on-one connections with artists and administrators in the last 2 weeks than probably the whole 8 years I've worked at CMAB.
there it is right there. It's the weird opportunities, the strange side effects to this thing that's going on. All of a sudden you're having this kind of contact that you've never had before. So,
well, an artist could probably like steward a massive cultural shift if we, and they will actually, I shouldn't even say if.
They always do.
Yeah. Right. Or it doesn't happen. So hopefully they will. Sounds good.
Good luck to you,
my friend.
Yeah, and good luck to you too.
Yeah, take care.
And we're just speaking with Heather Allen, Program Officer for the Central Minnesota Arts Board here on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. For links to more information on the ever-changing arts landscape that we now live in, including emergency grants for working artists, you can find it on their website, which is centralminartsboard.org. Or you can link to it off of our website at kvsc.org under the page for this story in the podcast and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, reminding you that as we go forward, we're all in this together, physically distanced or not. And as you well probably already know, it's going to be creativity that gets us through. So remember to be that difference that you wish to see in the world. The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPRS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.